Hi, I'm Munira from Fitzroy Primary School, and you're listening to Community Radio on 3CR.
So our final speaker tonight is Eleanor Morley. She's an editor of Red Flag Newspaper, which is a campaigning socialist newspaper. And in a media dominated by Rupert Murdoch, Red Flag has consistently argued for an elimination strategy. Eleanor has been central to commissioning the various articles from workers in New South Wales, such as the Bunnings workers, such as the health worker article that was referenced earlier, and very recently, an article from a Coles worker. Eleanor is a co-founder of the Lockdown to Zero campaign.
All right, thanks, Moira. Also thanks to Shannon, Dr. Bari, and our anonymous Bunnings worker for your own speeches. It's really refreshing to hear those clear arguments that just cut straight through the rubbish that we're forced to listen to every day in the press conferences, forced to read in the media, and all the rest of it. So as the other speakers have already more or less outlined, we're really living on a knife edge here in New South Wales right now. And it's also putting the entire country at risk of suffering a terrible, terrible fate in this pandemic, which is well and truly avoidable. So this insistence that we need to learn to live with the virus, we hear it every day now, from Gladys Berejiklian, we hear it from the New South Wales Liberals, and we're starting to hear it from the federal government as well. What this really means is that they are preparing the ground for more people to start dying from the virus, and that's what we need to learn. We need to learn to accept deaths. We need to learn to accept serious illness. We need to learn to accept long COVID and all the rest of it. So it's really wonderful to see like more than 240 people here tonight here saying, no, we won't accept this. We want to fight for an alternative. So first of all, I think it is really important to reiterate that we did not need to be here. That's true, firstly, also on a global scale. That kind of gets lost in the wash these days. So if leaders elsewhere around the world had put their health and safety and lives of ordinary people first, the virus could have been eliminated everywhere, especially because it first really hit the developed world. So countries that, more than definitely have the resources available to implement serious health strategies. But instead, what we have seen is the priorities of global capitalism, that is profits first, keep economies open, keep international travel running, keep businesses open. That has all allowed COVID to take hold in the community in a big way and also kill possibly up to 10 million people. The official figures say 4 million. Leading epidemiologists are saying that's rubbish. It's probably more like 10 million. And that's just in the first 18 months of this pandemic that currently has no end in sight. And so while up until this point, we've managed to avoid the same kind of carnage here in Australia, that same priority, profits before health, profits before workers' lives, that dominates the logic here too. And it certainly has in this outbreak right now in Sydney. So a few examples of this. First is that our healthcare systems are totally, totally unprepared for a pandemic. Already before COVID even hit the scene, hospitals were operating at maximum capacity. There were bed shortages, there are staff shortages absolutely everywhere in the healthcare system because governments have consistently refused to fund them properly. And I encourage people to check out the article that Moira mentioned earlier that we printed in Red Flag that a nurse here in Sydney wrote about the serious issues facing the healthcare system. But now we're already more than 18 months into this pandemic and absolutely nothing has changed, which is another absolute indictment on the people who run this country. So there has been no rapid expansion of healthcare. And like others have talked about tonight, the system's already squeezed, let alone what might possibly happen as cases continue to escalate. So they've not put massive amounts of funding into expanding healthcare, building emergency hospitals, all the kind of stuff we hope we won't need, but we should prepare for nonetheless. There's also a whole bunch of other ways that they've refused to prepare in the last 18 months, like the quarantine systems that Shannon talked about. We should remember that COVID has been eliminated from Australia multiple times. This is not some pipe dream fantasy that socialists have just dreamt up overnight. COVID has actually been eliminated from the community here in Australia multiple times, but it keeps coming back in through a quarantine system that is not fit for purpose, that experts everywhere for months and months have said, this is a joke. This is also like a total abrogation of human rights. You're forcing by law people to go into these hotels. They go into them healthy and they come out of them with COVID and then they spread it through the communities. I was reading earlier this week about the Howard's refugee policy 20 years ago, and in 2 months' time, the Howard government managed to set up detention prisons on Manus Island and Nauru. That was in just 2 months' time. So the capabilities are well and truly there, but the political will is not. All right, then next. So once this outbreak started, Berejiklian has, as much as possible, avoided hurting business interests. She's cut every single corner, and this has meant that necessary health measures just have not been taken. So we know that hard and fast lockdowns work. They have elsewhere in this country when implemented, but that's not what we got in Sydney. First, there was nothing for a couple of weeks. Then there was a partial lockdown of some LGAs, as though COVID knows how to respect the boundaries of a postcode. And then when that was extended to the whole city, businesses were still allowed to decide whether or not they were essential. For every single business, making money, making profits is essential. So unsurprisingly, most of them decided to stay open. And there were like ridiculous examples of this on social media, like luxury stores being open, like niche homeware stores and stuff like that being open. None of this is essential. And now today, 8 weeks into this lockdown, two months into it, things that are not necessary, workplaces that are not necessary, are still open just so the people that run them can continue to make money. And the fact that they have made this announcement today about some of those big retailers like Bunnings, like Officeworks, in those 12 LGAs that they announced they're being shut down, is them admitting that this actually is an essential health measure. And we should continue to point out it's something that they should have done 2 months ago, and it's something that they should be doing across all of New South Wales. The targeted LGA strategy is patently not working, yet they continue with it. But more than that, some workplaces are essential. You can't actually shut down absolutely everything in the economy. People still need to eat. People still need to access healthcare and so on. But nothing is being done to make those genuinely essential workplaces safe. And I think that unless this happens, it is very, very unlikely that we will see case numbers start to go down. So in Red Flag, we just published an article by a Coles worker who detailed a number of very obvious measures that could be taken to make supermarkets safer. So things like making sure there's not too many workers who have to cross shifts with each other at any point. Things like that. Simple things that have not been done by the people who run Coles. All they have done is follow the government's indoor mask mandate and have what are essentially optional QR codes to check in at entrances. They haven't done any of the other measures because it would cost them money. And across Sydney, we've not seen similar moves that were made in Melbourne last year across essential workplaces. So things like manufacturing. Some manufacturing obviously needs to continue, but production should be reduced so that fewer workers can be on site at any one time. Shifts should be organised into teams so you don't have an entire workforce crossing over with each other every single week. Like Dr. Bari went through, proper ventilation should have 18 months ago, but now definitely should be installed in absolutely every single workplace but all of this would cost money, so they're not doing it. And then in addition to that, the government is doing nothing to compel them to. So this is why we're seeing more cases, and we will continue to do so unless something changes. Next, someone wrote earlier that providing economic support to people is an essential public health measure. I absolutely agree with that. Many people just simply cannot stay at home if it means foregoing a wage. So we need proper income support to all workers. We need the rate of job seeker to be lifted so that no one's living in poverty throughout this pandemic. Again, if none of this happens, then we're not going to get it under control. But instead of doing any of this, Berejiklian, Kerry Chant, Hazard, the rest of them, they get up there every day. They insist that their settings are right, even though they're then later changed. They insist the settings are right, and instead they bang on about compliance. I thought that the press conference yesterday was really, really exposing of this strategy, where, again, Berejiklian gets up and just compliance, compliance, people are breaking the rules, people have got to stop breaking the rules. And then the deputy chief health officer gets up and admits, no, the way that transmission is happening is that people who are going to work catch it and then they bring it home and spread it to their family. So that's clearly where transmission is taking place. It's not by people like going for walks in the wrong area or just visiting their friends or anything like that. And I think that's also what the strategy of dialing up the cops, dialing up the military presence is all about. It's to feed this false idea that the issue is compliance, rather than the issue being actually regulating business interests to shut down more of the economy, make the other ones safer, to stop the spread. So we can't actually police our way out of this crisis. Okay, so where have these priorities, of profits got us? Well, the most dangerous moment of the pandemic in Australia so far, that's obvious. An 8-week lockdown that's just been extended for another 6 weeks. I agree, people don't like lockdowns. We shouldn't have had to be in this situation in the first place. But it's not working. It's not working because they've botched it and they continue to do so. We've got a push to send children and teachers back to school, which is absolutely criminal. It is endangering those children. It is endangering teachers, and it is endangering the families of all those people. Yet the government continues to push. We want to get them back into classrooms. And then also, what do we have? We have a potentially devastating crisis among Aboriginal communities in Western New South Wales. And I think this is really, really frightening. In Dubbo, they have 2 or 3 ICU beds. That's it. Walgett, none. The best you're going to find is in Dubbo, 2 or 3 ICU beds. There are serious pre-existing health conditions in these areas because of existing state racism towards Aboriginal communities, which makes this one of the most vulnerable populations. And as we have learned from the UK, from America, elsewhere, it is the most vulnerable people out there who suffer the most from COVID, who have the highest death rates, the highest rates of hospitalisation, serious illness, and all the rest of it. And we're on the precipice of that kind of crisis unrolling in those communities, probably not even on the precipice. It's happening right now. Cases are going up. People out there are going to die because the government refused to shut Sydney down in the way that they should have. All right, to conclude, so obviously we are in a concerning, kind of terrifying situation right now, but I think it is really, really important that we don't give up. While politicians are kind of more and more clamping down on now we need to learn to live with it, like Shannon said, there is still a debate raging in society. They have not won the debate. So more and more health officials, epidemiologists, health experts, they're starting to speak up almost every day now. There's a new opinion piece in the papers of people from that community saying, hang on a sec, we definitely still can get this under control. We definitely should not be letting this virus rip. We definitely can and should try and contain it. And I think we all need to continue to add our voices to that. So one more thing I would add is that we want to support people, workers who are fighting their own bosses for health and safety in their workplaces. I heard a story yesterday that a Woolies warehouse in Western Sydney, there was a positive case in that workplace, but the boss said, "I don't care, keep working." The workers in that warehouse, they all went out. They said, "We're not going back in there until you shut it down and do a deep clean." They won. They all got sent home on full pay. And overnight, that place was properly cleaned. So that's just one example. But the more of that right now, the better. And we should support every single one of those actions. But also, we want to keep fighting the government. Even though we're in pretty hard conditions right now, like normally fighting the government for us means hitting the streets, it means protesting, the kind of stuff we can't really do right now in lockdown. Like, I'm a socialist because I think ordinary people, I think workers have the power to change the world. And despite being in difficult conditions right now, we're not going to give up and we're going to keep fighting. So really encourage everyone here tonight to get involved in that fight, but also reach out to other people you know, reach out to people that you work with, reach out to friends, family, get them to sign on to the statement, get them along to the next event, and get everyone involved.